talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut
you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot to talk about. We're going to start with the Pennsylvania Senate election. The debate the other night between Mehmet Oz, sometimes referred to as Dr. Oz, and our man Fetterman, Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania. Development, yesterday, there was an independent candidate named Everett Stern. Everett Stern was not polling particularly well. He was at 3%, but 3% could be the margin of victory or defeat. He dropped out of the race yesterday and endorsed Fetterman, the Lieutenant Governor, the Democrat. So we can't have Oz. We can't have Oz. It's a very, very good development. I want to go over quickly that debate again, talked about a little bit yesterday, and what confounds me, what issues the Democrats are not raising in this race. The issues were predictable. Oz attacked Fetterman for having a stroke. Oz is a doctor. He's a quack. He prescribes quack medical procedures. Calls himself Dr. Oz. He does have a medical degree. And no doctor attacks somebody who's had a stroke. Fetterman, by the way, smart as hell, and he also did a great job. People say, oh, man, how can you say that? Guy had a stroke. There's a lot of guys, if they had a stroke in the spring, wouldn't be up there debating. And yeah, he fumbled with some words. That's speech therapy. That has nothing to do with the cognitive ability of the individual who had the stroke. And his doctors say he's coming back, and they put in a detailed explanation of its history. Oz jumps on him and says, well, why don't we see everything in your medical history from the beginning of time? Okay, Oz, how about you publishing that? How many weird things have happened to you? Fetterman was magnificent, in my view. Very brave guy. Abortion was another issue. Fetterman favors enshrining Roe v. Wade in federal legislation. It was a very nuanced decision. Roe v. Wade doesn't permit interference in a woman's decision in the first trimester. In the second trimester, there are some issues. And in the third trimester, the states are free to say, hey, look, I mean, that's going to be only if the woman's life is in danger, her health is in danger. And that seemed to work. No reputable doctor does a late-term abortion unless the woman's life or health are in danger. Simple as that. What did Oz say? Oz said the issue of abortion should be left to a woman, her doctor, and local politicians. That's what he said. Local political leaders. A woman, her doctor, and local political leaders. Hey, let me tell you the local political leaders in Milwaukee. I like them very much. Cavalier Johnson's the mayor. You have Crowley as the county executive. You have some aldermen. I don't want these guys. I mean, come on. Woman or a doctor in a room. In walks Milwaukee alderman or Waukesha alderman. Says, I'm going to have to think about this. I'm going to have to look at this. Give me a break. The filibuster came up. Fetterman said, I get rid of it. Oz is for it because they've used it to block everything that Biden's done. And Fetterman said, remember this, if Oz is on TV, he's lying. He was great. He was magnificent. We go to the lines. Joanne of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Joanne?
Yes, thank you so much for bringing this up. I'm so concerned about the format for the debate. Those 15-second responses that were requested, I don't know what that corresponds to. I haven't seen those in other debates. 15 seconds, you know, and that pressure and all of that would drive anybody crazy. I mean, I'm not sure how it is a requirement for public office to spit out things that quickly in such a compressed time period. Although I was concerned about the fracking answer, that of all the various answers, I'm sure if I would have called in later, you would have have covered that already. I wasn't sure really where Fetterman's stood on that issue because he wasn't quite able to express what he meant. I believe he stopped and did not expand on his position, which would probably be a complex position because, of course, that's a very complex matter. So thank you for letting me ramble.
Thanks for calling, Joanne. Always enjoy your calls. Yeah, let me tell you something that we Democrats tend to fixate on is the slightest imperfection in our candidates, we agonize over and let the Republicans beat it to death. And the Republicans themselves are in there destroying our democracy. Let's be blunt about Fetterman on fracking. At one time, he was opposed to fracking. He just flat out said, I'm opposed to it. Now, this time around, you can't win statewide in Pennsylvania and say that. There's a huge energy industry, and there's a huge coal mining industry, and there's a huge, there are miners, plenty of them. And so he said what anybody would say. I have decided that I would support it. That doesn't mean he supports it in its entirety. It doesn't mean it doesn't have to have environmental regulations and protections. And they try to hit him on it. Oz supports fracking with no regulation at all. So why do we fixate on what nuance, if any, Fetterman has? Oz is not Pennsylvania. Oz is not America. Get rid of Oz. Get rid of Oz. And Joanne makes a good point that Oz insisted because Fetterman had a stroke for 15-second rebuttals. 15-second rebuttals, I can do one. I enjoy doing that. But that's because you're on radio long enough, you can spit it out. But you know something? Let me tell you about that. There's no texture in 15 seconds. There's no context. There's no meat. And if you have a guy who had a stroke and another hack who's been on TV for a long time, you are going to have the hack on TV do well. What Fetterman could have done, and he didn't do it, you know, he has to agree to the rules. He could have said, these are the rules. There's not going to be a rebuttal. If there is, it's going to be 60 seconds. And if the other character didn't like it, tough beans, tough bananas. That's it. You're out of here. And then if people hit him on not debating, it would be, hey, if this clown wants to debate, I'm willing to debate. And here are the terms. Here are the terms. The other thing was he was able to see a screen with the Fetterman was with the questions so he could read them. And that's very appropriate when you're recovering from a stroke. Nothing to do with cognitive ability. It's speech therapy. However, Oz objected to people watching on TV being able to see the screen. I'd say, hey, Oz, there's the door, Jack. Go back to Turkey, Oz. Go back to Turkey, you ugly little. Go back to Turkey. This is the way it is. It's my way or the highway. They didn't do it. In any event, I think Fetterman's going to win. He comes across as very human. Oz comes across as inhuman. His face is cruel. Face, sneaky eyes. And here's something. I'm going to say this again. I am so tired of the Democratic Party not fighting the Republicans on their own terms. Dr. Oz served in the Turkish army for 2 years. Dr. Oz votes in Turkish elections. He's missed a number of American elections, and he never served in the American army or any military in America. He's a dual citizen. He's still a Turkish citizen. I do not want a Turkish citizen who served in the Turkish army and who votes in Turkish elections anywhere near the Senate. He's a friend of Erdogan. The Turkish army was used around the First World War to genocide 2 million Armenians. The Turkish army is being used now to ethnically cleanse, kill, murder Kurdish women, children, and men. Where is the ad from Fetterman? And it could be from some group backing Fetterman. The Turkish army murdered 2 million Armenians during the First World War. Dr. Oz, when you were in the Turkish army, were you ever ordered to shoot an Armenian? And then another ad, were you ever ordered to shoot a Kurd? And if you were, what was your response, Oz? And then another one, why didn't you serve in the American army? Another one, why didn't you vote in American elections? The way the Democrats handle it is metaphorically, here's what they did. They go, he's from New Jersey. That's technically true. He lives in New Jersey, has 10 homes. His only connection to Pennsylvania, Oz's, is that his in-laws live there and he claims a bedroom in their house as a residence and he never goes there. If you tell somebody from Pennsylvania, guys from New Jersey, they yawn. Tell somebody from Wisconsin, guys from Minnesota, he yawns. Ron Johnson's from Minnesota. So what? That's not the killer argument. It's getting rid of Social Security is a killer argument. But you don't say Oz is from New Jersey when he's from Turkey. You see what I'm saying? I suspect that the Fetterman campaign didn't want to somehow rile the Working Families Party and the far left and all this kind of stuff. I'm tired of that, real tired of it. They left that issue on the table. They left that issue on the table. Now, here's the deal. The race has tightened. It has tightened considerably. Still margin of error, and still Fetterman is ahead by a point or so. There's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. The election is 1 week from this coming Tuesday. 1 week from this coming Tuesday. Everybody's got to get out. Everybody in Pennsylvania's got to get out. Everybody in Wisconsin has got to get out for the Wisconsin elections. Here in the Senate, we have Mandela Barnes running against Ron Johnson. And we're going to talk about that some more. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Cut you down. Tell them that God's going to cut you down. Tell them that God's going to cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, let's go to Oklahoma. Let's go domestic for a change. Oklahoma. Oklahoma has a candidate, a Republican, for superintendent of public instruction named Ryan Walters. Now, remember, Tony Evers was the state superintendent of public instruction. Then he became governor. This is the same position in Oklahoma. Ryan Walters, a Republican, is running for it. Ryan Walters came out with a campaign promise the other day. Ryan Walters said that if he is elected superintendent of public instruction at the upcoming election, he will require all teachers in Oklahoma, as a condition of keeping their jobs, to attend courses at Hillsdale College in Michigan on, quote, patriotic education, period, end quote. Some teachers immediately announced if that came to be, they'll quit. Let's burrow into that, give a little history of that. Hillsdale College is a college that is extremely conservative. You may have seen some of their mailers and their courses and so forth. And it's not clear if Ryan Walters would make teachers physically go to Michigan or whether they can do it on Zoom. I mean, if you have every teacher in Oklahoma, because this clown picked out a college, a right-wing college, and wants to cram this down their throats, and what, they're all going to go to Michigan? I mean, you're going to have thousands of Oklahoma teachers. Well, yeah, here's the deal. I don't want teachers indoctrinated. Teachers are professionals. Teachers are professionals. I think of every teacher I ever had, I am so grateful. I'm grateful. The greatest teachers I ever had were my mom and dad, Gerard and Geraldine Flynn. They were the most wonderful people I've ever met. Wonderful teachers. And then the schools I went to, I had great teachers. I'm sure that they had political convictions. I'm sure they had social convictions. They didn't wear it on their sleeves, none of them. They were professionals. If you have an occasional outlier, somebody who wears it on their sleeve and tries to indoctrinate people, that should be taken care of by other professionals. In the Department of Public Instruction, ultimately by school boards. It's very rare. But for this clown to say that he'll force all teachers in the state of Oklahoma to attend a college of his choosing, Hillsdale, and take courses on, quote, patriotic education, whatever that is, and lose a lot of teachers who had quit, it's time that these clowns were eliminated from office. He cannot be elected. He should not be elected. What is, quote, patriotic education? This isn't just a call, which I would support. I support with all my nieces and nephews. Join the military when you get out of school. It's a wonderful thing to do, and it's a great, great thing. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about what kind of history you teach, what kind of history you teach about racial history in this country, what you teach. This is something they do in Russia. Putin does this with his teachers. They are required to teach a certain Russian history, and if they don't, they get fired or they get put in jail. Same is true in China and North Korea. We cannot have this in the United States. Going to the lines, Jack of Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jack. What's in your mind today?
It's an honor to speak to a true patriot and a man who loves his country. I'd like to address I hear you're going on different hours. Boy, I'm really going to miss you. I kind of got my radio set up, you know, and it's kind of like it's like my alarm clock. And you start my day out in a great way, you know. And I'd like to address another thing. I like your style. You're a man. See, that's one thing that's missing in the Democratic Party backbone. And there hasn't been a backbone till since the Kennedy brothers. And I'll tell you one thing. If it wouldn't have been for JFK having the courage to stand up to Khrushchev, we would have nuclear missiles pointed at us right now, and Putin would just love that. But anyhow, good luck to you on your sabbatical. And the only thing I'm not going to miss is that fellow from Sussex calling in and asking the same question over and over and expecting a different answer. So thanks for giving me the time to talk to you.
Jack, thank you very much. You're a good friend, and I will miss you too. But, you know, 3 o'clock, your radio works at 3 o'clock, Jack. I hope you call in. Jack's right. What I'm doing right now, and by the way, on JFK, I agree with you 100%. I'm a huge fan. And he was one of the great presidents. He launched the space program, launched civil rights. He was a great man. Here's the deal. Starting Monday in this slot, in the morning slot, 6 to 8, a fellow named Pat Kreitler will be the host, and I encourage you to listen to him. I'm taking a sabbatical for a couple of weeks, that's all. And middle of November, I'm coming back. I'll be back 3 p.m., the 3 p.m. slot. It's called Afternoon Drive. What I'm on right now is called Morning Drive. So I'm hoping your work schedules will let you listen to it. We'll have you dial in and call. Love my callers. We get a lot of callers. We get more callers per hour than I think a lot of shows. And that's because I like to hear people's point of view. I like to let them speak, and then all points of view are welcome. All points of view are welcome, but you're not woke if you don't know history, and you're not woke on the right or the left if you don't know history. So I'm not going anywhere. Couple of weeks, and then I'm back. And I'm back at 3 p.m. weekdays, Monday through Friday. From then on, please call in. Please listen. And it's going to be the same tough, hard show. The lines are alive. I see you. Do not hang up. We got to go to a quick break, and I will get back to you right after the break, 844-967-2789. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right to the lines. Tom of Los Angeles, my friend. Thanks for calling. Tom of L.A., what's in your mind today?
Good morning, Matt. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. That's what elections are all about. That's what voting is all about. Everyone, get out and vote. And when you vote, then take 10 people with you on the day of election. Very, very important. It might be the last one you ever get to vote. This is about democracy versus authoritarianism and fascism. Matt, one other thing I want to say is people keep on talking about the thing that Dr. Oz said in that debate about a woman, her doctor, and the local politician. Well, as far as I know, he actually had a Freudian slip, because that's really what all the Republicans mean about a woman's right to choose. It's either got to be a woman's right to choose, or it's got to be the government's right to choose. It can't be both. And the thing is, just because a woman has the right to choose doesn't mean that she chooses abortion. So the thing is, it's about her choice. This whole thing is about choice. It may be that a woman does terminate her pregnancy, but the whole point is, when you don't take away a woman's right to choose about her body, you have now made her into a second-class citizen. And I hope all the women out there that I know of that have actually exercised the right to choose, whether that is to have an abortion or not have an abortion, it is her choice. And I hope they really think about that when they're in the polling place. You may have a right-wing husband. You may have someone that is a certain way. Remember, you are your own person. You do have the right to choose on November 9th. Which is November 8th, you have a right to choose, and please choose blue. That's the bottom line. It's not about you. You're not being forced to have an abortion. You basically have the choice, and you have a choice to not have it. And most women choose not to have it. So I just want to make that very clear for these people that are one topic voters out there, that no one's forcing anyone to have an abortion. It's about the women having the brains in her head to decide what is best for her. And most women do choose to actually not have abortions. So just want to make that very clear, Matt. And again, everyone get out and vote. Remember, Souls to the Polls, WI.org. And Madison, Milwaukee, this is your time to shine and actually have the power that you have to vote. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Always enjoy your calling in. And, you know, the thing about what he said, Oz, about between a woman, her doctor, and the local politician is frequently a hack, comes stumbling into the room. And the culture that Oz is from, remember, he served in the Turkish military, votes in Turkish elections, gets in your business all the time. You have no freedom in those places. You're not going to have an abortion. You're not going to have anything. I don't want him in the Senate for a lot of reasons. I don't want a guy in the Senate who did not serve in the American Army, serve in the Turkish Army. I don't want a guy from a culture who talks this way, and he will shut down any personal liberty you have. Thanks for calling, Tom. All right, here's an amazing statement. I've got to say it, and this is beginning to clarify what Putin is up to in Ukraine. There's a guy named Ramzan Kadyrov from Chechnya. He's a truly vicious individual. He's an Islamic terrorist. Putin put him in. The people in Chechnya didn't want him. Putin bombed them back in the 90s when he had the authority to do it, when Yeltsin was theoretically the head guy. Ramzan Kadyrov has tortured his people, has suppressed them. He's Putin's lapdog. And here's what he just said. This is a direct quotation, quote, "I will conquer all of Ukraine. I call for jihad against Western Satanism." against gay marriage. I give you my word, we will attack them every day, and every day we will destroy them. We will not take these devils. We will not take prisoners. We will burn them, and not just Zaporozhye or Kherson, but Odessa and Kiev also. The whole of Ukraine is our territory, Russian territory. They want to defile our faith and cultivate satanic democracy, which is when the rights of atheists are protected. And then he described a large rally in Chechnya, in the capital, Grozny, against a French cartoonist who had depicted in a cartoon the Prophet Muhammad. And here's what this idiot goes on to say, quote, stay true to your word of fighting those who would offend the Prophet. The self-respecting Muslim will not look for excuses. This is jihad. Destroy these devils wherever they are, end quote. Now, let me tell you something. What Vladimir Putin is doing, because he has a worthless army, because he and the oligarchs have stolen 80% of the surplus wealth of Russia, they have defective equipment, they have very bad lives, he's unleashing jihad against Europe. To go in, Ukrainians who are caught are tortured. Women, children, men, everybody. They're murdered. These are animals. These Chechenian Islamic terrorists are animals. Do you remember the bombing of the Boston Marathon a while ago? Remember that? Tamerlane Tsarnaev and Dokhtar Tsarnaev. Tamerlane, the older brother, was killed in a shootout with the police. Dr. Tsarnaev is sentenced to death, and for some reason he's only serving life. These people were Chechenian immigrants. They came to this country, were embraced. They were given scholarships to Boston Latin High School, one of the best high schools in the country. They were admitted to the University of Amherst on a scholarship. But they wanted to wage jihad against the Western devils. They blew up the Boston Marathon. I think you can no longer accept immigration from Russia. You can no longer accept immigration from Chechnya. We're simply bringing people into this country who hate this country. And there are various clowns in America who go, well, we need the diversity. No, we don't need the diversity. You don't bring in people who will kill you. You don't import your own assassins. That's a sure way to suicide. And I'll tell you what, there have been intercepted phone calls, and this is not just the Chechens. There have been intercepted phone calls between texts between Russian troops and their mothers, their wives, their girlfriends. And these people say the following. They have been ordered to kill everybody. And I'm not talking about just Chechens. That's in their path. Kill everybody. They've been told, interrogate them. Go through the villages, kill everyone who's part of the resistance. If they see the flutter of a curtain, this is in one text, they kill everybody in the house because they assume that there's a weapon pointing out, even though they're just looking out. There is an animal genocide going on, and the animals are the genociders. When you have clowns in the Republican Party like Kevin McCarthy, who say, well, we're going to cut down on aid to Ukraine, maybe cut it out so we can have another tax cut. This kind of isolationism, this surrender to genocide of loyal allies of the United States, good European people, is disgusting. It's wrong. You've got to understand that when you're voting. One little piece of good news, if you want to call it that. There's a woman named Xenia Sobchak. You've never heard of her before, and I hadn't either before I saw this story. She's Putin's goddaughter. Seen pictures of her. She's a very attractive woman and obviously very capable. She's the daughter of Putin's mentor. When Putin was coming up, shinning up the slippery pole to get to be the top guy, he had a guy who was his mentor, his closest confidant. This is the daughter. Putin is the godfather. Went to the baptism. She, the other day, said something publicly questioning the war in Ukraine. And he sent secret agents, the thugs and the secret police, to arrest her and put her in prison. His own goddaughter. But she's a pretty sharp cookie, and she did two things that I think are terrific. One is she booked tickets to Turkey and then on to Dubai. And obviously the agents were onto that. So what they did was staked out the airport. But on the sly, she got other tickets. She slipped into Belarus and got tickets to Lithuania and got out hours before they arrested her. Hours before they arrested her. So she's safe. It's very good news. It's very, very, very good news. And I'm warmed by that kind of a story. But, you know, that's a rare story. Because what the Russians are doing in Ukraine, Xenia Sobchak was right to criticize the war. They now have a system they call Zakiska, Z-A-C-H-I-S-T-K-A. It's called cleansing, human cleansing. You may have heard of it as ethnic cleansing. And they have not just Ramzan Kadyrov, the Chechen Islamic terrorist who said that he's waging jihad in Ukraine to restore it to Russia, but Russian troops, as evidenced in their texts to their girlfriends, mothers, wives, have been ordered to kill everyone and to take no prisoners. This is Zakiska. There is a genocide going on in Ukraine. And all this business about, well, we're going to get them more weapons. There are only 45 million people in Ukraine, and more than 10% of them are refugees. Many more, actually, if you count internal refugees. Russia has 145 million people. You cannot have a war of attrition between a country of 45 million and a country of 145 million. Because you do the arithmetic and one side will be worn down before the other one is. That is what is happening in Ukraine. We have to immeasurably step up the assistance we're giving. Going to the lines, Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
this very strong coalition against Putin. And in the same way that I'd say, as we look at this election that's coming up, you know, are you going to vote for the person who's got the cute saying, or are you going to vote for
I agree 100%. I want you to stay on the line, Joe. We're going to a break. I have no choice, but I want to continue your comments. So if you stay on the line, Aaron, please open the call to Joe again after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Back to the lines. Joe and Madison, my friend, we had to cut you off because of the break, but I like what you're developing, so please go ahead.
Thanks, appreciate it. I basically was talking about the fact that good government is not showy. Good government is get in there and do the work, and it's not making a bombastic statement to draw attention to you. It's about serving the people, serving your community, not you, your people that elected you. And I would offer some contrasts when we look at, the gubernatorial race. Evers is not a showy guy, but what he has been doing has been all about serving the state of Wisconsin. And I would offer as examples, during the pandemic, he made crafty use of getting funding from the federal government to work to save small business in Wisconsin. They were just getting hammered during the pandemic, and he was able to work it and get in there and just did a record job of getting dollars to our small businesses in the state. It was one of the best performances in the country. He offers, when looking ahead, to have a 15% tax cut for the middle class, okay? And he's going to pay for it out of the surplus that the state has. What is Michael's offering? He's offering a flat tax, which sounds showy thing. Oh, a flat tax. It sounds so easy and all. That flat tax is just going to cream people who are in the middle class. I mean, we had the economist who often calls into your show that pointed out that under a flat tax, 96% of us will be paying more in taxes, while the wealthy will be skating out the front door. And I would offer, as one of those wealthy people that will be skating out the front door, Senator Johnson, who's running against a Democrat Barnes. And I mean, we showed yesterday the WKOW story where it said that he has not paid state taxes in 6 years. This Republican talks about having skin in the game and a fair share. How fair is it that a person who has personal wealth of over $44 million, our senator to the federal government, has not paid any taxes in 6 years? I am sure that Mandela Barnes has paid state taxes in the last 6 years. People focus on his property tax. Well, he paid that plus the penalty, whereas our Republican Johnson has not contributed to our state coffers in 6 years. I have. I'm sure you have. I'm sure your callers have. I'm sure that people who are working in forestry in the north have. I'm sure that people who are working in a restaurant in La Crosse have. They have paid more in state taxes over the last 6 years than Johnson, who wants to go and represent us. The choice is clear. We need people who are of us, not people who are over us and constantly seeking a way to make even more money. So thanks for the chance to speak on that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Joe, thanks. I always enjoy your calls. And I'll say a couple of things. One is your core point is absolutely right. The business of government is hard work. It really is hard work. And you're not looking for a show horse. You're looking for a workhorse. Not a show horse, but a workhorse. Yeah, Trump is a show horse. Michaels is a show horse. And that kind of thing. Now, I agree with you absolutely on Biden. This is a guy who stood tall for Ukraine, put NATO back together, is building a mini NATO, the equivalent in the Pacific to contain China, bringing in Australia, Japan, South Korea, Vietnam, the Philippines. This is vital stuff. This is not amateur hour. And what do we have? We have Kevin McCarthy saying he'd cut off Ukraine. You have Trump saying he'd pull us out of NATO. Trump would pull us out of NATO. That will expose Poland, Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, Slovenia, Slovakia, actually Bulgaria and Hungary. The Ruskies back in 1945 demanded Greece and Austria too. We finally stood up to them. Frankly, we should have stood up to them on Poland and the rest of Eastern Europe. You want to know why we didn't? Because Japan had not yet surrendered. My father-in-law landed at Normandy, my wife's father. He was wounded, the Battle of the Bulge. And the word was that when Germany surrendered, everybody would get about 2 weeks' liberty to see their wives. They were all going to be shipped to Japan, to the Pacific. The whole American army to back up the Marines and invade the Japanese mainland. So we didn't have troops left over to save Poland. And Poland lived in essentially cultural hegemony and slavery to the Ruskies until 1989. So the Republicans seem to know none of this. The Republicans seem to know none of this. And they're not doing anything. And people sit back and think, ah, well, they yawn, they stretch, and they say, well, you know, Biden's in the White House. Maybe it's time for a change, split government. This is not normal split government. This is the treason caucus who will pull us out of NATO. This is, let me tell you something. How many times do we have to repeat this? Ron Johnson has said, you've heard his voice in some of the ads, saying that the retirement age for Social Security and Medicare, in his opinion, may have to be increased. And that Social Security and Medicare should be reauthorized every year. That is fatal. If it's put to a vote every year, that's what the Republicans suggested in 1935. We wouldn't have it right now. People have been paying in their whole lives. You've been paying in your whole life. So has your employer. If it's reauthorized every year, it'll be filibustered. It'll be filibustered. Cruz, Hawley, these kinds of people, Ron Johnson, Scott, they'll filibuster it. And then they'll go, all right, we'll lift the filibuster if you cut the benefits by 25%. And you're going to say, how about only 15%? Why should they be cut at all? You paid into this thing. This is actuarially determined. Yeah, you might live to be 100 and end up taking out more than you put in. You might also die the day you retire or before you retire and get nothing. It is actuarially driven. It's genius. And Franklin Roosevelt, and he based it on Bismarck in Germany in the 1880s, did the same thing. Social Security. It was a great insight. It was further developed at the University of Wisconsin by their economists. Worker comp, unemployment comp, and Social Security. The idea is you spread the risk and the pain over a broad population. People are taken care of. You know, people living in huts and eating cat food. But that's the kind of thing that happened before. So Joe said is very, very important. It's hard to govern, but fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. It's creeping in slowly but surely. Got to be resisted. Got to be resisted. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.